And he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me come through the voice of love. The voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
One in the back.
There is coming a day when the heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. On his feet forevermore, on the happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be.
$375.
$375. Okay. Wait, what? $414. That's a good one. No shadows yonder, beyond the sunset bars, no shadows yonder, far beyond the stars. Yet the world are gleaming, faintest sunlight streaming, eyes of God are beaming, all the
yonder,
all the tears are wiped away. Amen. In the dark, dear Lord, I cry, unless thou art standing by. So much darkness in this land, Savior, hold me by thy hand. When the pilgrim work has been the temple bill of wrong, and I'm free and I'm drifting far from shore,
appreciate the song service. If you would and wish to, let's stand together and sing number 107, number 107.
Jesus, before thy face I fall, my Lord, my life, my hope, my all, for I have nowhere else to flee, no sanctuary.
In the eye.
We're thankful that we can fall before the face of the Lord Jesus, because we realize that He is our Lord, our life, and our all. He is our strength. He's our power. He's our might. He's our everything. And indeed, He stands ready to help us in time of need. The Apostle Paul declared in the book of Hebrews that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And therefore, because that He was tried and tested and tempted like as we are, the only exception is that He had no sin. He had no fault. He had no flaws. He was impeccable. He was perfect. He was holy, He was harmless, He was righteous. But indeed, the Lord Jesus knows and understands and feels our afflictions. He understands very intimately what we travel through here in this world. Whatever sorrow it is, whatever temptation it is or testing it is, He's there to bear us up as we cast all of our care upon Him, for He cares for us. There is no valley too low that His arms are not underneath, you know. His everlasting arms are underneath His people. So we can take comfort and consolation in our Savior this day. We appreciate this good congregation this morning. We thank the Lord that you had a mind to come here and worship the Lord with us. And it's my prayer that God will anoint this meeting and bless me to preach to you, and that you'll go away strengthened and revived and refreshed. The Lord certainly blessed us yesterday and Friday night with a wonderful meeting. Elder Sam Bryant was with us, and he preached so powerfully and wonderfully the gospel of God's grace to us. And he just brought so many wonderful messages that just stirred our souls up and caused us to think about the things that God had done for us and what He's doing for us and what anticipates our hearts on the other side, and also the many deliverances here in this life that He gives to us as we lean upon His everlasting arms. I have some announcements I want to make to you. We want to especially thank each of you for your prayers and your kindness and your thoughts and everything that you did during the time of Karen's mother's death, and for the family. They appreciate it very much, and we hope that you will continue to be in prayer for us, for the family. And I know that Sister Karen desires your prayers in her time of sorrow. I also want to remember Sister Barbara Knuckles in prayer. She doesn't know yet when she'll be undergoing surgery, but they found a tumor on her spine. So we want to be fervently in prayer for her and Brother Jimmy and the family, and ask the Lord to lay His hand upon her and that all may go well. And also, we want to remember Dewey Lawrence in our prayers. Brother Dewey found out that he has colon cancer, and he's very distraught about it. So we want to ask the Lord to give him the courage and whatever that he needs in this time, grace and mercy for this cancer that he has, and that the Lord may lay His hand upon him. And also a note of good news. I'll be baptizing a sister at Jack's Creek next Sunday afternoon. Regina Handy came asking home in the church. So we'll have the baptismal service after the meeting Sunday afternoon at Jack's Creek this coming Sunday. So as we look to the Lord in prayer, if you'll all join with me, I'll try to word our prayer.
Most holy, sovereign, eternal God, our Father in heaven. Lord Jesus, thou who art the darling Son of God and our Redeemer, we trust it is with meek hearts that we come to the throne of grace. And Lord, we know that we are needy and poor and unworthy of thy blessings. But we want to thank thee for all the bounties that we've received, for all the joys that we have experienced in life, as we have traveled in this good way and walked in the old paths. We have indeed found rest for our souls. And Lord Jesus, that promise we have experienced when thou said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." We have been given that rest, Lord, as we experimentally come to thee, realizing and recognizing that thou art the Savior of our souls. And we also have found rest in taking up our cross and following thee in the gospel church and duteous pathway and our responsibility. We have found rest in learning more about thee. And that's what we've come to do today, to learn more about thee and thy works and ways, to hear the everlasting gospel that cheers our hearts and minds, that revives us in the midst of this dark, benighted world, and all the troubles and sorrows that we must pass through. Thou hast been the gracious shepherd to hold our hand, to lead us beside still waters, and that we might be made to lie down in green pastures. Thou hast restored our soul. Thou hast been indeed our great bulwark and our protection and our rock and refuge. We thank thee for this day and these that have gathered here, thy people, to hear thy word. And may it find a lodging place within their hearts and minds. And may it stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance, that we would be better disciples of the cause and lift up the banner of Jesus high. Lord in heaven, we pray for those that we have mentioned that are sick and ill and having difficulties in life. For we know that all of us here in this life have those problems and difficulties along the way. But thy grace is sufficient for us as we come to thee and ask thee to help us. We pray, Lord, for our nation, for those who rule over us in government. We pray for our young men and women in the military, that thou would help them, protect them, and deliver them. Deliver us from evil and ungodly men, ruthless men who do not love thee nor fear thee. We ask, Father, that thou would bless thy churches all across America. In this land and country, we know that there is a preservation. There is the salt that is severed to thy churches and to thy kingdom. Lord in heaven, we ask in the name of Jesus that thou would hear us and bless us for his glorious name's sake. Amen.
Some scripture on my mind found in the book of Hebrews chapter 2. Now start reading with verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. The Apostle Paul lays out here very clearly and vividly concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus into this world. It is my prayer that God's people might see the value of the coming of Jesus into this world and all of his glorious works while he dwelt upon this earth. We've come this day to see Jesus, haven't we? Though the fellowship is wonderful in greeting each other in the Lord, but the main and central figure that we've come to see today is Jesus Christ our Lord. See him by faith. See him by the eye that God has given to us. See him with the spiritual mind of our understanding. We see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels. I want to talk to you this morning about seeing Jesus made a little lower than the angels. Indeed, we believe that Jesus Christ came here into this world some 2,000 years ago. The Son of God descended into this world. Why did he come into this world? Who did he come for? And what did he do? Why was his reason of coming into this world? Well, there's a lot of different opinions why Jesus came into this world. Some say that Jesus came into the world to give everybody a chance for salvation in his offering upon the cross, that everybody has a chance and the door is wide open. Jesus died and he shed his blood, but it's up to man to do something about it in order for his death and his shed blood to be effective for man. But the Bible is very specific and clear why he came into this world. He came into this world, the Apostle Paul declares. He was made a little lower than the angels, of course. He who is the creator of the angels had to leave heaven's throne. He had to leave the pure world of glory, all of his splendor, behind, and be made a little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death. Why did he have to come into this world when he was enjoying all the beauties and the splendor of heaven with his Father? Because his people were in death. We were all on death row. We were all in sin and we could not escape. So Jesus had to come. The Son of God had to assume a body of flesh in order to die. God had to come in the flesh to die. To die for his people. To suffer death. He came into this world. He had to assume that body. And of course, that is a great mystery, and it's a pivotal point of the doctrines of the Bible. The coming of Jesus, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, is a fundamental principle of the Church of Jesus Christ. If we didn't believe that this morning, then all the other foundation would crumble, that the Son of God came into this world. He himself said that I came down from heaven. He himself said that the Father sent me. He himself testified that he was in heaven and that he dwelt with the Father from eternity. And the writers of the New Testament declared that he was with the Father before the world was. The Apostle John in his gospel declares in 1:1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. But then he says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, declaring his incarnation, declaring that the Son of God, the Word of God, who was God, came and he took upon himself flesh. Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. The Son of God was not made. He existed from eternity. But Jesus, in his humanity, was made. You see, the Son of God didn't have a body of flesh before he came into this world. He was not a man of flesh before he descended into this world. He had to take upon him that flesh, because his brethren were partakers of flesh and blood. He likewise took part of the same. Jesus took part of the same that we are made up of, and that is flesh and blood. The Son of God had no flesh and he had no blood before he came into this world. But he was made a little lower than the angels. The Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 said, he says that Jesus was made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, the Apostle Paul again sets this forth, that Jesus was made of a woman, made under the law. Jesus was made of a woman. He was made under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So Jesus in his flesh was made. Again, I repeat, his deity was not made. His divinity was not made. His godhood was not made, because the Son of God existed before he ever came into this world. But he came into this world in a miraculous way. Oh, we all delight in that virgin conception of Mary being enveloped by the Holy Spirit, and she conceiving in her womb of the Holy Ghost. As the angel announced unto Joseph, he said, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now he says, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Eternal Spirit, was truly involved in the conception in the virgin womb of Mary, of conceiving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great mystery, isn't it? But again, I repeat, we do understand some things about the incarnation of Christ, the conception of Christ into this world. We know it was of the Holy Spirit, that he came down from heaven in that way, in that manner, and that the body was prepared for him, and he assumed that body into his divine nature, and he was 9 months in the womb of Mary, and he was brought forth into this world. God became a baby
He was brought forth into this world, and the angels of God sang glory to God in the highest on earth, peace and goodwill toward man. That was a glorious message of the angels when the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Glory to God. The angels said glory to God, his birth, even though it was unnoticed of man, and the multitudes knew nothing about it. I'll tell you what, heaven recognized and rejoiced in the birth of the darling Son of God into this world. Glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. Oh, this was God's peace and goodwill toward deplorable man, toward sinners, that he would send his only begotten Son into this world, and that he would become us by way of representation. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Jesus didn't come into this world to stay here in this world. He came into this world to do that which God sent him to do. But he came on a specific mission in this world. He came to die. That was his destiny, to die. Why? Because his people were in death, to suffer death. The Bible here, Paul writes, to taste death for every man. Somebody says, now, preacher, you old Baptists believe that Jesus died for a particular people, don't you? Yes, that's true. But here it says, for every man. Well, every man under consideration, every man that is embraced in the Scripture, every man that the Apostle Paul is speaking of, he did die for every man in this sense. He died for every race, for every kindred, for every tongue, for every people. There is a people that Christ died for in every race, in every tongue, in every people, in every family, in every era of time. He died for men in high position as well as low position. He died for every man. But indeed, this does not at all set forth the doctrine of universalism, that he died for all men in general and none in particular. He died for every man in particular, and every man he died for is described by the Apostle Paul in the following verses. He died, he tasted death for every man. And the every man that's under consideration is identified in the following verses in bringing many sons unto glory. Now we see who the... You know, the word many is used several times in the Scriptures set forth how many are embraced in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and in eternal redemption.